It's episode 15 of the Crossover Podcast, your 5,345th stop for all comic book movie news. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Matt. This week on the podcast, we will be going over our Civil War reactions, as well as a litany of other DC and Marvel news.
Yes. You can reach us at thecrossoverpodcast@gmail.com or head on over to thehodgepodgepodcast.com and find our episodes there. Or find us on Facebook and YouTube. Just search for The Crossover Podcast and like and subscribe. And it's been quite a while since we have done an episode, mainly because we have lives.
Yeah. And honestly, the news has not been of the ground-shaking variety, I don't think.
No, the biggest news, I guess, is Doctor Strange, was the Doctor Strange trailer. And then they did a teaser. Although, like Dirty A says, that trailer was more than 2 minutes. That's not a teaser.
No, that's not a teaser.
But it was a very broad strokes trailer. And then there was a quote, I'm doing the super air quotes here, a new trailer with Civil War, which was essentially the same trailer, just with, I think that the Mordo had some dialogue in it, and the Ancient One had some more dialogue to kind of explain what the hell was going on a little bit. And there was some new footage, but it was essentially the same trailer.
Yeah. I didn't realize that Tom York had been cast as the Ancient One.
Tom York?
Radiohead. There, I saw it on Facebook the other day. It just happened to be juxtaposed.
Right.
Like, there was an article about the Ancient One.
On what she looks Tilda like?
Swinton. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, Tilda Swinton. And then right below it was a picture of Tom York from some Radiohead article. And I was just looking between the two. I was like, those are the exact same people.
Not really. I mean, what?
Look at the two pictures beside each other. Swear to God, same person.
Maybe.
But anyway.
Radiohead's new album just came out today.
Yeah. So that's very much them.
I guess, yeah. It's much mellower than I was expecting it to be. I thought it was going to be a little bit rockier, but it's a lot mellow. It's good. I mean, it's not bad. I really like the first song a lot, Burn the Witch. But anyway. This is a comic book movie podcast.
Well, maybe they like comic books.
Maybe they do. They were on South Park.
Oh, well, I think that solidifies it.
They were on South Park. You're crying like a little baby. He's just a little baby. Let's get out of here, boys. Yeah, let's get out of here. Made you eat your parents.
But back to Doctor Strange. I didn't realize there was new footage, even a couple seconds worth, in the trailer we saw with Cap.
I think they showed like more of like the city stuff. Like, it looked like there was a little bit more there. And it felt like there was like a little bit more footage, but it, like I said, it was essentially the same. Like, I remember I turned to you, I was like, that's pretty much the same trailer. Yeah.
I didn't realize it was any different. But yeah, whatever. It's Dirty A said, not a teaser if it's 2.5 minutes long.
Exactly.
But at the same time,
it doesn't really tell you much.
I mean, you get sort of like a brief intro of who Doctor Strange is. You know, right. He's a surgeon. You know, he's been in a wreck.
Wait, he was?
Yeah. You've saved hundreds of lives. You know, there's some weirdo up in a Buddhist temple somewhere that, knocks his spirit out of him.
And they're taking a lot of flack for that, apparently.
Yeah.
She's white.
It's,
I think it's more than they expected. I think they were like, I think they felt like, well, we cast a woman, and she's pretty androgynous, so people will do it. But I think people are more pissed that she's not Asian.
Yeah.
Because I think, and it's like, and I kind of agreed with, I forget who it was who said it. Maybe it was on Collider Movie Talk, but they were like, it's kind of like damned if they did, damned if they didn't. Because they were kind of like, if they made her an Asian man, people might have been like, well, that's kind of, you know, stereotypical. But but at the same time, you could have made it an Asian guy and not played into the stereotypes. You know, you just make him an Asian man because they're in Tibet. You know, just make him an Asian man and then say, don't make him a horrible stereotype. Like, he was drawn in the comic books. I mean, he's trying to look like what's his face? Mickey Rooney is an Asian guy in comic books. It's just like, that is racist. But you can do it not racist.
Yeah, it caught me by surprise. I didn't realize there would be that much backlash. Mm. I thought it would be more comic book nerds going, why is she a woman? Why is a woman playing the Ancient One?
I don't think comic book nerds know enough to care when it comes to Doctor Strange.
It's possible. I mean, I doubt seriously it's going to affect ticket sales or anything, but
no, it'll be interesting to see how well this movie does.
Yeah, I mean, I keep saying that about these lower profile heroes that they do, and then they end up doing pretty well.
Well, the difference with this one is that at least Ant-Man was like a superhero movie. Like Doctor Strange is something wholly different.
I hope so.
I mean, and Guardians of the Galaxy is, you know, that's Star Wars essentially. So it's like that sells itself too. But Doctor Strange is strange. Yeah. It's a lot stranger.
I want it to be fucking bonkers.
Oh no, me too. But I'm just saying. I mean, like, I don't know how that'll affect the box office.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. What is there anything else coming out in November this year?
Yeah, there's a little movie called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Oh, that old thing.
Yeah.
When is that coming out, dude?
At some point in November. Yeah. I don't know. When does Doctor Strange come out? What date does that come out?
I don't remember. I thought it was second weekend in November.
I mean, Fantastic Beasts might be the next week.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I would probably say that Fantastic Beasts might come out on Thanksgiving, maybe.
Mm.
But,
yeah, I seem to remember there being a 2-week window for Strange. Maybe not. I don't remember. But, yeah, I don't know how much money it's going to make. God, I just hope it's good.
Yeah.
But I like the director. I, of course, like Cumberbatch, GA4. I think it's got a good cast.
Oh, yeah, it's got a great cast. I mean, it's got a cast, I would say, that rivals, like, a Nolan Batman movie. I mean, it's like, you know, it's got a lot of accomplished people in it.
Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, he's in it, and he blew his role in Rogue One. But I don't think his role is that. I don't know how important it's going to be. Like, people are like, it's a huge spoiler. I'm like, not really. I'm like, not unless his name is Han Solo or something in the movie. It's like, it's not that important.
He's Bob Fett.
Bob, yeah, nice.
But anyway, so that's a few months off. We'll get a real trailer probably around September, August, September time frame.
Right. X-Men released a final trailer a couple weeks ago for X-Men Apocalypse. And I guess Fox might be feeling the heat from Disney because the sequel to Alice in Wonderland comes out the same weekend. So Fox, at the very end of the trailer, basically said, Wolverine's in it!
Yeah. Don't forget.
There was it's a very cool scene. It's a very cool lead-in and then the scene. All they show is Tyce Sheridan. They're clearly at Weapon X. They're clearly at the Weapon X facility. And Tyce Sheridan's like, oh, we had some help. And then they have a shot of Wolverine's hand coming into the view and the claws come out. The adamantium claws. So Hugh Jackman will be in this to some degree. Is it possible that that's probably at the end of Act 2 and then maybe he's actually in the third act, which would be awesome? Who knows? Yeah. But my bet is that they meet him, they quote unquote meet him in Act 2, and then he just runs off into the wilderness or something like that, and that's the last you see of Wolverine until next year.
For 60 years.
Yeah, that's the last. Well, I mean, if that's if the Wolverine movie does come out next year. I mean, I know they're casting. They're ramping up casting for that, but as far as
I think, you mean the Wolverine movie? It started filming today.
Oh, it did? Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't know. Because they had said in, like, January, they're like, well, we have a script, it's practically finished, and blah, 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 and then, like, they didn't really say it was done, and then they started casting some people, so I was like, ugh. I think
Mangold or somebody released a shot today of, like, the first, what do we call those things, the scene.
Oh, the clacker?
Yeah, the clacker.
Yeah.
With the code name for the movie, which I forgot what it was. Something made no sense whatsoever.
Wolverine.
Yeah. It's something like Juno or some bullshit. I don't know what it is.
Wolverine. Okay, cool.
So yeah, I think it started today. Started filming.
We don't know for sure. There was talk that Liev Schreiber might be in it again as Sabretooth.
But I hope so.
We don't know for sure. Yeah, me too. We don't know for sure if he got cast. They cast Boyd Holbrook is in it. He's in it?
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Merchant's in it. Stephen Merchant's in it. It's going to be a very eclectic cast.
Yeah, every casting announcer for this movie, I'm like, huh.
It's like, all right. Still, I don't know. I guess there was a report that said it takes place in the future or something like that, but I don't know. So we'll see what happens. I'm hoping it's going to be good. But
yeah, I heard that report, and then, which is why it confused me that he is now in Apocalypse. Because I assumed that by setting his movie in the future, that they were going to have some other, they're going to recast Wolverine basically for the, right. the new X-Men.
Right.
But I mean, I guess they could still do that, but it's a little weird to have him in Apocalypse
yeah.
and then have somebody new come in yeah. after that that's younger. And,
yeah.
But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's like I keep saying, I have a feeling he himself, Hugh Jackman, will show up in Deadpool 2, at least in a cameo.
God, I hope so.
I think. And
he's got to.
And there's been a lot of kind of like unwarranted talk about Fox and Marvel possibly working something out. Because Simon Kinberg was saying stuff during like the press junket, I guess, for Deadpool DVD or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the Russos are like, if there's one character we want, it's Wolverine. And, you know, if that happens, it'll be Hugh Jackman. They're not going to I don't know if they would recast Wolverine just for that.
Yeah.
Especially since he's been Wolverine for so long, and I know he's pined for that to be in like the Avengers and stuff like that. So
that would be, it would be great. But at this point in the Marvel Universe, to introduce mutants, because they've gone out of their way to like.
Well, it depends on how much they would do with him. I mean, if he could just show up and just be like, "Yeah, I
have a metal skeleton.
I knew you in the war, Captain America." Or so, I don't know. I mean,
remember me? We met once.
Or is Captain America dead? I don't know what happened in Civil War. I don't know.
Who knows? Oh yeah, maybe no spoilers. He's
dead. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But X-Men Apocalypse comes out. It looks good. I mean, I'm excited for it, but I'm a big X-Men nerd, so you know, I'm curious to see what they do with it. I've liked Oscar Isaac's look more and more as they go, although I was kind of pissed when I saw that story that was floating around about what the costume could have looked like, and it looked exactly like the comic book. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Can't you guys just do something right?
Yeah, it was once? In the background of some video. The company that does the designs for all those things.
They did it for like Batman, Superman, and yeah, some other stuff too. Captain America.
They did Black Panther and...
Like, oh, they did Black Panther too.
Yeah, cool. Loki's helmet, and then Apocalypse was there. And
right.
I was like, yeah.
That's Apocalypse.
That looks like Apocalypse.
And then another mutant news. Still no word on when Gambit's going to come out.
Oh! God, that's surprising.
But the director, I guess, who is going to be doing New Mutants... basically revealed his cast.
Yeah.
Not who's cast in the role, but who the cast of characters will be.
Yeah.
And I think it was Cannonball, Wolfsbane, Mirage, Magique, Warlock, which would be cool.
I don't know a lot of these characters. I know Magic, and I've heard of Wolfsbane.
I want to say there was one more, but Sunspot.
Mm. Which, didn't we see Sunspot in Days of Future Past?
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's pretty much, I mean, the one character was, what was her name in the book? It was Quan. Her name was Quan, but I forget what her code name was. People were kind of getting all up in arms that she's not in it, because they're like, Marvel hates Asians. So, and then also Cypher, Doug Ramsey's not in it, but he had the most useless power of all, which was translating languages, which is why he died in the Fall of the Mutants. Wow. Sorry, spoiler alert for a story that's comic book story that's almost 30 years old.
That is a killer mutant power.
But Warlock will be in it, which is cool. He's the guy who has like the techno, he's like the techno being basically. So as somebody I think accurately pointed out, I think on Collider comments, they're like, he's their Groot. I'm like, yeah, pretty much. And Magic is Colossus's sister. And Cannonball has been like a staple throughout, you know, X-Men stuff since he joined New Mutants. So it looks like they're going with like the classic group of New Mutants. So it'll be interesting to see how that feeds into X-Force, because New Mutants begat X-Force after Cable came along at the end of that series.
Mm-hmm. Which I think they're casting Cable now too.
Really?
Yeah, they're looking for.
I mean, are they done with the script for Deadpool 2? Or are they?
Well, they know he's going to be in it.
Right.
I don't think they're done with the script, but they were talking about who they want or the kind of actor they want, and basically they just said they wanted somebody physically imposing.
Hmm.
Good luck. I don't know many actors that are physically imposing and also old as shit. So.
Yeah. Well, they can always give him the white hair and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Stephen Lang, I think. I know he wanted it, but I think he might be too wiry for that. But who knows? I mean, they can bulk up or whatever. Here's some steroids.
Yeah.
Have some fun bulking up.
Some human growth hormones.
You know who they're going to cast.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's me, Cable. I'm here to turn off your TV.
Deadpool.
And then they'll just change all of Ryan Reynolds' dialogue when he goes into ADR so he can make fun of Arnold Schwarzenegger and all his bad puns. I just wrote Deadpool 2 for you, everybody. The end.
Do you want me to cheer?
DC movie business. Batman versus Superman, despite Civil War coming out, is still in theaters right now. You can still see it, I think, somewhere.
Can you?
I think, yeah. I think so, somewhere. It pretty much ended up with about north of 850 worldwide.
Yeah.
Which, for any other movie, you'd be like, wow, you made a shit ton of money. But for this, you're like, it's a horrible failure. And it's like, it's kind of somewhere in between there. It's not a failure, but it's definitely not what they were expecting.
Yeah, I'm sure they wanted $1 billion at least.
Of course, but, you know. But I mean, but see, close. What's the irony is, too, is that, like, you know, Cap just made like 180-something million, right, for the first weekend.
Yeah.
Which is obviously a great number as well. But then, like, I think, like, some of the predictors were like 200-something. And then they're like, oh, well, Disney said it was going to make 160. I'm like, Disney always is going to lowball it, MFs. It's like the general, you know, the general prognosticators, I think we're looking at 200. But nobody's like, well, that's a disappointment. You know, it's like, they're like, it's great. Because it is great. Yeah. But it's like, you know, so. The
fifth biggest opening.
Yeah.
And what was.
181 million. Was Batman Superman like 7 or something like that? It was at 166. Yeah, it was like 7 or something like that. Yeah. Like just under Iron Man 3 or something like that.
Yeah. But
it's just funny how, like, the dichotomy of how, you know, this is a failure. This is a success. You know, it's like, they made relatively the same on the first weekend, but. But yeah, so then they say they're filming Justice League, and Ben Affleck just got promoted to director. I mean, executive producer.
Yeah,
executive producer.
Yeah, they spelled director League. Funny in that article.
And he is definitely going to be doing a solo Batman movie that he wrote with Geoff Johns, I think, and he's going to be directing it.
Yep.
And they're talking about how they're like, oh, there might be a bunch of rogues gallery. I'm like, wow, you're going to make the number one comic movie mistake in your first movie. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Only way they could do that is if it's a story, if they kind of based it a little bit, I mean, in part, loosely, I guess, on like the Arkham Asylum video game.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Hush.
No.
I think they are.
Hush is too big a story, I think, to do in one movie. That's just too big a story to do in one movie. Plus with all the characters in it, too.
Yeah.
But if they did like an Arkham Asylum type thing, you could have all the villains in there, just... Except for Catwoman. Catwoman would make no sense in there because she doesn't belong in there.
No.
Penguin, too. Penguin doesn't belong in the asylum either. But all of them. Riddler, Two-Face, Joker, you know, all of them.
Calendar Man.
He's the main baddie. 30 days hath September, April, June, and November.
See, Batman could just keep going down there and get an achievement after a while.
Exactly. Right. Every
holiday.
Every holiday it plays in the theater, he gets a new achievement. And then the director for Flash left, but it's kind of no big shakes because he was a first time director anyway, so they're probably like, whew, glad we're getting out of that deal. So
yeah, that was Seth Graham Smith.
Yeah. He wrote the novel, I think, for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
He also wrote Pride, Prejudice and Zombies. Pride, Prejudice and Zombies.
But I was surprised that they made him the director in the first place. I was just like, really? It's like, it's one thing when you say, hey, adapt your novel, you know, and be the movie director. Oh, okay, great. And then it's like some like small business thing, but Flash. I mean, come on, you're crazy. And then, of course, there were rumors that James Wan was going to leave Aquaman. And then he tweeted out a picture of him standing in front of this big mural, this Aquaman mural. He's like, yeah, you guys are killing me. He's like, he's not leaving, clearly.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to get Kevin Smith to do the Flash movie.
I hope not. I like Kevin Smith, but Kevin Smith can't direct an action movie. He can't do it.
Has he tried?
He did. You could say there was some action in Dogma, and he did that horrible, horrible movie with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan, Cop Out.
God, I didn't know he did that one.
Yeah, he didn't write that. He that was a direct for hire.
Hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe get Kevin Smith to punch up the script if you want to make it funnier because it's Flash. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, but the thing is, the Flash, if they wanted to make Flash funnier, then I think he should be Wally West because I don't remember Barry Allen being much of a jokester. but Wally West is more of a funnier character, I think. Hmm. I think.
I wonder if the dude left because there seems to be, I don't know if it's mostly rumors now or the combination of Cyborg and Flash, like maybe combining them into the movie, and that's not what he wanted to do.
Maybe that's possible.
Cause it seems like now that Cyborg's not getting his own movie.
That's the thing. I don't know why they announced that in the first place, because like Cyborg's not Black Panther. Okay. Black Panther was the first black superhero. He has carried his own book multiple times. Cyborg's always been kind of like a side character, like whether it's on Teen Titans, and then, I mean, he just recently joined the Justice League, like with New 52, yeah. But he was mainly on the Teen Titans and stuff like that. So I never understood why they were like, hey, Cyborg.
Well, seemed forced into the New 52 Justice League anyway. Like,
yeah.
And it seems like they're just trying to ram it down people's throats. Like, yeah. He's going to be in the Justice League.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah.
Which he just, it seems like an outlier, but I'm not all that wild about his character. I don't know a ton about him.
Yeah. And maybe the reason why they're doing that is putting him with the Flash is also helping the Flash as well, because they probably want to make it as different from the TV show as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see it making sense. If they need to get Cyborg in there.
Right.
That would make the most sense because he's related to Star Labs.
Right.
Yeah. I think it could work, but we won't be seeing Green Lantern in any of these movies. So, although there is talk about him being in, or at least, no, multiple Green Lanterns being in the second Justice League movie.
Yeah. And there's also a rumor that Green Lantern Corps will be directed by George Miller. That's a rumor that popped up. It's hard to know what... and this is the problem with the DC movies, which we've talked about several times, is that they don't have a Feige to basically keep the reins on everything. Basically... And that will ultimately always be the problem with DC, because DC is owned by Warner Brothers, which is this huge conglomerate. Marvel was its own separate thing before Disney bought them. And then Disney saw, oh, you're already having success with these movies. Well, you just stay in charge then. Great. Yeah. And I would say any problems they probably had to do with that Perlmutter guy.
Yeah.
And then
good old Ike.
Now that Feige's fully in charge, there's going to be it's going to be probably a lot better, more streamlined.
Yeah.
But DC doesn't have that guy. And it's like I said, I don't think they ever will, because Warner Brothers just doesn't know what the F to do with this stuff, because they're just, it's a huge conglomerate. Instead of saying, hey, Jeff Johns, you know, you be the guy to do this. You just be the guy to like the story guy to keep it all together, you know. Bruce Timm would be great.
Paul Dini.
But I don't know. I think they might want to stay in animation and stuff like that, personally. God. They probably don't want the job. It's probably like a Star Wars prequels type thing. They're like, yeah, I don't want to touch that, because people have been waiting on a Star Wars movie since 1983, and I don't want to direct that. I don't want to be in charge of that. I've been watching Justice League Unlimited, and I binged it like all day yesterday after work, and I mean, that's a great show, and it's the perfect blueprint to make these stupid movies.
I know.
And it's just like. And the characters are perfect, and, you know, it's every...
Yeah,
you know.
See, that's what I loved about it. I mean, they understood the characters. Mm-hmm. They had really great stories. And it basically, like, I cannot believe Warner Brothers is just ignoring it. It's a perfect blueprint for how to do the Justice League.
Yeah.
And they're just like, whatever! And then, you know, bring in Zack Snyder. It's...
Yeah.
Man, it's such a disappointment. I would love to see a lot of that type of Justice League interaction and storylines. I want to see that in the movies.
Yeah. I mean, I understand them wanting to possibly do their own thing instead of like completely just straight adapting the cartoon, but you know, it's
like the comics. It's like, you don't have to take it one-to-one.
Right.
You could say, I want this from that storyline, and we'll make up other stuff around.
Right. And the thing about the cartoon, I mean, personally, it's like, I like them better than the comic books. I mean, cause you know, DC Comics have never been totally my bag. It's just, I like the characters. And that's the difference. That's kind of the difference, I guess, with DC and Marvel. It's like, DC's characters are more iconic. So it's like, you can have, like, there's like an idealized version of those characters, which is why people are kind of rankled, like, with how they're presenting Superman in these movies. So it's like, but with Marvel, you don't really have that problem, because it's like, you know, I would say pretty much the only iconic character is Spider-Man. Now, the Marvel movies have kind of defined the characters to become these iconic, you know, idealized versions of them. But before that, before Iron Man 1, I mean, you know, nobody knew who the hell Iron Man was. They're just like, it's some guy with a goatee and he's in a metal suit, whatever. You know, so, but the DC characters have been around for so long and, you know, and just been in so many different forms of media, you know, leading up to this. Just like, how do you do Aquaman different? You know, it's like, it's like,
I hope they do that. I want that to be the sound he makes.
There has to be. They have to put that sound effect in there somewhere. It's kind of like when they made the Transformers movies and like they had to have the.
Yeah, it was very faint in the background.
Yeah, but it's in there. It's in there. You got to do that with Aquaman. I was actually just watching an episode where he raised a giant like octopus or whatever, and the octopus like holds a bridge together. I was like, that's awesome. But, yeah, so that's what's going on with DC. Some director shakeups a little bit. They're filming Justice League now. That still comes out next year. We'll see what happens.
Yep.
Wonder Woman, they moved up Wonder Woman. They moved that up
a couple weeks.
Because yep. I think at where it was like opening against Transformers 5 or something like that. It's like, well, that's stupid. And now they're opening against Bad Boys 3 or something like that, if that even still happens. I don't even know if that's...
Two Michael Bay joints.
I guess. Well, he's not directing Bad Boys 3.
No, he's probably producing it.
And the thing is, with Transformers, I don't even know if that's going to happen on time either, because they haven't done... I don't think they've started anything on that.
Yeah, I would not be sad if they were like, so...
Oh, no, yeah, of course not. But I mean, but I'm just saying, it's like, you know, I'm wondering if DC maybe, like, moved it too soon, because they might have had that kind of to themselves if Transformers just kind of like... Oh, we have to move Transformers because it's not ready yet.
God, that'd be so great. We have to move it to 2030. And Michael Bay just can't direct it anymore.
That's not going to happen.
I can dream.
One last thing before we get into...
Civil War.
The Union wins, by the way. Sorry to spoil alert. Yeah. The Union wins.
Lee surrenders. Lincoln dies.
The Captain Marvel...
Yeah.
Talk is heating up about that, and I'm not talking about Shazam, I'm talking about Captain Marvel from Marvel Comics.
Right.
Talk is heating up now. The Russos were at some event at the Smithsonian, and they tried to play it off as best they could, but they, I think, accidentally revealed that she is going to be in the Infinity War movie.
And they were like, oh, wait, no, that was Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel is going to be in it.
And I'm sure Kevin Feige was probably somewhere pulling out his hair like, no! But like, again, who cares? I mean... The Collider Movie Talk guys, I was watching them, and they're just like, it's a non-story, because she has to show up at some point.
She has to show up.
You know, so
and you're
what?
Filming both movies back-to-back.
Yeah.
You have to cast her now.
Yeah, so, and how are they going to do that?
They start filming in November, and they said they film for a year.
But how are they going to squeeze her movie in?
It comes after... No, it comes right before.
The first one.
It comes right before. So, they can film it, because she films from... starting this November to next November. And then she's probably going to have to go straight into her movie after that. But it comes out in, 2019?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
She's got a little
that's
over
right.
a year.
I guess, yeah. Okay. And then there have been rumors about, you know, that have been circulating online that is saying that the reports were that Marvel has who they want. They have the person, but they're trying to hold out
and
to
announce
director. It. Yeah, they're just trying to hold out to announce it until, like, Comic-Con or something like that in the summer.
Which they're skipping, so it would be D23 if they're doing it this year.
Is that? I thought that was every 2 years. Is that? This
I think
year?
It is every 2 years.
I thought there was one last year.
They did a D23 last year
for Star Wars.
Yeah. Which, by the way, did you notice in Civil War? Well, I know we'll get to it in a minute, but in Civil War, the cell that they put Bucky in was D23.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nerds.
Yeah. I know they're skipping Comic-Con this year, but I don't know if they're doing their own thing or what. Because they kind of did their own thing.
When they announced Black Panther.
Yeah. When they announced Phase 3, basically.
Yeah.
Civil War, they announced there. And that was just like an impromptu press event that they called. So maybe they're doing that again this year. I don't know. But yeah, the rumors are that they have the names. They just haven't released it yet.
Right.
And I could talk about the thing on Heroic Hollywood.
If you want.
Yeah. Well, it leads into one of the names that is the most talked about.
Right.
Recently. Basically, I think there's three people that get talked about the most, and that is Jessica Chastain, Emily Blunt, and Olivia Wilde. Some people have thrown Brie Larson in there, too, but...
Not Jennifer Lawrence.
Not Jennifer Lawrence.
You think that they would try and get her? You think they would try and snag her from X-Men?
Maybe that's part of the deal they got going behind the scenes. They're like, all right, we won't take Jennifer Lawrence from you if you give us Fantastic Four, and then keep Fantastic Four. Just give us Doctor Doom. That's all we want.
No, I think I like I keep on mentioning, I forget the person's name on Collider, the comments, but I like his idea that they make Phase 4 about Fantastic Four. And that, you know, then they show up at the very end of Infinity War or something like that, part 2.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, buddy. It's me, George Clooney, and I'm Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, Jesus.
People would shit their collective pants if George Clooney was Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, my God.
He would never do it, though.
No.
Not after Batman and Robin. He would never do it.
No. He could have the Fantastic Four card. Yeah. Got it. The movie is so stupid. All right. Brie Larson would be fucking awesome. I don't know that she would do it, but...
I don't know if she would want to do it either.
It would be great. She's a great actress.
She's more indie girl, I think.
I mentioned the thing on Heroic Hollywood. There was some article in there where there was rumor that people started to piece together who the director and lead actress are. And it started out by saying that the writer on it, who I believe is Nicole Perlman, but I'm not...
She's one of them, I think.
I know she did the script, the initial pass on Guardians of the Galaxy, and then James Gunn punched it up. I think she's doing the initial script on Captain Marvel.
And she's working with one of the women that worked on Inside Out. I can't remember her name offhand.
I wish she was working with Kelly Sue DeConnick, but the writer of Captain Marvel.
Is she still writing it?
I think so.
I don't know if she
is. Oh, not the new ones.
Not the new one. Where she's in Alpha Flight.
She basically, like, what I would consider, like, the rebirth of Captain Marvel, where she initially became more popular.
Right.
Because Kelly Sue DeConnick was writing that series. And
it's also because Marvel pushed her a lot, too. They put her into a lot more marketing and stuff like that. They
did. But if the books suck, it's not going to matter. And those books were really good. But anyway, so Perlman's writing. And she apparently just followed some indie director on Instagram a few days ago, which is not a sign of anything, really. But the indie director, I can't remember her last name, but it was Emily something or other. And that director, a couple days before, had posted something saying that she was going to a meeting with Disney. And then she immediately edited the post and put something else in there.
Right.
And then the dude that initially said that he knows who both names are, I think it's Jeff Schneider at Deadline, something like that. Mm-hmm. He had said that the director and the actress both have the same first name, which would point to Emily Blunt. So we'll see if it works out that way. Any of those four names I mentioned would be perfectly fine with me, as far as the actresses go.
Right.
I would say Olivia Wilde would probably be at the bottom of that list. I love Jessica Chastain, so it'd be great if she was Captain Marvel, but Emily Blunt's incredible too.
Mm-hmm.
And Brie Larson, like I said. The director apparently is some indie director. Never heard of her before.
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned the movie and I'd never seen it. This sounds like something Marvel would do. Their directors have not typically been the blockbuster directors. But they've had some success with it, especially lately with the Russos. And then apparently Derrickson's doing a really good job with Strange.
And James Gunn.
Yeah.
The king of the indie directors.
Yep. So... hopefully they said, I think, in the next month or so, Marvel said that we were going to get an announcement. So we'll find out soon.
All right. It's going to be Emily Blunt.
Yep.
Unless they get J-Law.
Which would also be awesome, but.
Yeah, I mean, she would be kind of perfect, for it. I would say that one picture, I guess that iconic picture that came, I guess, from issue one that they did where she's pulling on the glove.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at that picture, you're like, that looks like Jennifer Lawrence as Carol Danvers. I mean, it really does.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised.
God, she would be great.
But she said that she wants to do more X-Men movies.
Yeah, which is a reversal of what she was saying a couple months before that, where she was like, yeah, I don't know.
It's because she realized they're not making any more Hunger Games movies. Yeah.
She's like, oh, wait, I need a job. Yeah. Yeah. It's a steady paycheck.
Yeah.
And apparently she's now the leader of the X-Men, so...
That's the one part that's stupid to me. It's just so... It's like... It's totally a case of our most famous actor in this thing is playing a villain, but we have to make her a hero because she's playing... Because she's... Jennifer Lawrence is playing her. I think... I understand that you want her to have as much screen time as possible because she's the star of the movie. Like, she's the biggest star in the movie. But you could have still made her like a villain. You could have still made. I mean, you could have still made her work for Apocalypse or something like that, like they did in the cartoon.
Yeah.
Which is what I thought was going to happen. I thought she was going to kidnap Wolverine, and it's going to be nice how they explain that away.
Yeah.
How she pulled Wolverine out of the lake or the
disguised river. A Stryker.
Disguised right? A Stryker, and then yet he still ends up at Web NX.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years later or whatever. I mean, that's going to be funny how they explain that away.
Yeah.
And Stryker's in it too. Like the guy who played him in the last movie's in this too. I forget his name.
Yeah, I can't remember. He's also in Mad Max.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he will. He's also going to be in X-Men Apocalypse too. It's a lot of the same people from Days of Future Past too, yeah. from the past stuff. Peter Dinklage sadly will not be in it. He's probably rotting in jail after that movie. all right, so let's talk about Civil War. It sucks. It's the worst Marvel movie ever made.
Terrible.
Don't go see it.
God, it's fucking awful.
Civil War came out last week. We saw it opening night.
Yep.
I saw it twice opening night.
Yes, you did.
Because our friends were going later as well. And I was like, I don't have to go to work the next day. Yeah, I'll go see it again. And it did. And despite what Dirty A said, it really did not affect my enjoyment of the movie. I was able to process everything. I was like, okay, okay, all right. So it was actually, you know, it was good.
Yeah.
The only comment I would say is that I think that the seats they chose were just a row too close. They were in D, which in that theater was. I was like, ooh, this is close. Yeah. I would like one more back.
Everyone was giant man.
Yeah. Exactly. So Captain America is Civil War is very loosely based on...
In that it shares the title.
Yes, on the comic book version of Civil War, of which now they're doing Civil War 2, to which I was just like, oh, fuck you. And did you read the thing online where they said how it starts? Basically, it was on Free Comic Book Day.
No,
I've read it before, but something goes wrong. And I'm like, this is sick.
But it doesn't even go wrong now. It's like a future event that they see is going to happen or something.
Oh, it is. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's like somebody came. I don't remember who it was.
It's an Inhuman or something like that.
Yeah, they disclose like this is going to happen in the future. And,
Thanos was in it or something like that.
I have no idea.
Anyway,
I'm not worried about it because I'm not going to read it. So,
yes, you will. Somehow or another, you're reading part of it.
Somebody was like prognosticating Phase 4 of the Marvel Universe, and they were like Captain Marvel, Civil War 2. I was like, fuck that.
No. And I will say this about Marvel, you know, and that's not to take away from the Winter Soldier, because, you know, that was a fantastic movie. To me, spoiler alert, it's still the best Marvel movie, Winter Soldier. But they keep on taking stuff from all the more recent books. And it's like, you know, there was a lot of Marvel history before 1996 or whatever. You know, it's like, you know, there was a lot of Marvel history before that. You know, you can do other stuff, you know. You can do some of the older stuff. Yeah, no, don't do that. Don't.
People are just dumb.
Phase 4 will be Fantastic Four. It has been decided. So anyway, Civil War, we're not going to get too deep into the actual like plot and all that kind of stuff because we're doing a review for the Hodgepodge this week at some point. I really liked it. I really liked Civil War. It was a lot of fun. Like I said, though, I personally liked Winter Soldier better because I felt Winter Soldier was a tighter movie. It's a lot tighter story. With Winter Soldier... The only beef I had with Winter Soldier, I was just like, I knew Robert Redford was going to be the bad guy. Like you could tell from a mile away, like, he's the bad guy. And, like, that was kind of telegraphed. But other than that, Winter Soldier was great. I mean, it was pitch perfect. And, you know, it made me really like, oh, man, I got to see the movie again.
Yeah.
Civil War is really, really good. And... It's an excellent introduction to Black Panther. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
Ant-Man essentially steals the show. I mean, because he's so funny in this. I mean, Paul Rudd is fantastic in this movie. He's so funny.
Yeah.
And what they have him do, which we won't spoil here, but what they have him do is just hilarious.
He literally has like 5 lines in the entire movie.
Is it that few?
I think so. And it's like every one of them is absolutely the best.
Captain America. Hey, I know you too. Yeah. You're great.
You're great. He's like touching Cap's chest.
Yeah, he's like touching his shoulders. He's like, wow.
Yeah. All right.
Spider-Man, Tom Holland as Spider-Man, he's really, really good. I'm actually tentatively excited about the Spider-Man movie. And the only reason why I say that is not because of him, it's because of who's behind the scenes writing it and something. I was just like, I don't know about that. But we'll see. Hopefully it'll be great. The only thing I felt, though, was that I felt like they put Spider-Man in this only because he was such a big deal in the comic book Civil War. But because this movie is only in title only based on that, it's like you really didn't need Spider-Man in this. It was great to see him, but you really didn't need him in this. But I like what they did with him. He was a lot of fun, you know, and he's funny and he's he's a teenager. He's a nerdy teenager, you know, which is what Peter Parker's supposed to be. And Hot May, I mean Aunt May, is hot.
She is ridiculously good looking. Like, it's distracting how beautiful this woman is, and she's playing Aunt May.
Yeah, I know. Aunt May.
It's like, and what's great about it is that, you know, I'm not going to spoil the lines in the movie, but it's they recognize it in the movie.
Oh, yeah. And yeah.
So, basically, one of the characters says exactly what you're thinking at the moment, which is, yeah. My God, she's hot.
Yeah.
Aunt May is not supposed to be hot.
Yeah, right. And the thing is that, like, and our friend Lori said after the movie, she made a great point. She was like, I always pictured her in the originals as like great Aunt May. And I'm like, yeah, that's actually pretty more accurate, I would say. And
she's now, always looked that way.
And she's gotten progressively younger in each one. And then Sally Field played her in Amazing Spider-Man and Rosemary Harris played her in the first Raimi films.
Yeah.
She looked like real Aunt May. And then Sally Field, even though she didn't have gray hair, you could say, okay, well, she's ultimate Aunt May because, you know, she's kind of like younger and like she's kind of hipper and stuff like that. But now you've got like, are you sure you're not his mother? And it's like some secret thing or something. It's because you're hot.
And she's really gorgeous. I mean, I don't want to belabor this point, but she is drop dead gorgeous. She's 51.
Yeah.
She's 51 years old.
Yeah. We're all getting older.
Yeah. But she does not look it.
No, she looks great.
Yeah.
And she's played, I don't even know if we said, she's played by Marissa Tomei.
Sorry.
She's played by Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
And I really liked Downey in this. I thought Downey was great. It was great to see him play Iron Man again instead of playing Robert Downey Jr. as he does in the Joss Whedon films.
I think it's his best Iron Man performance since Iron Man 1.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I would agree with that. I can understand in Iron Man 2 because they were, you know, rushed for time, which Jon Favreau did not appreciate. He's back at Marvel, by the way, too. He's executive producer.
And there's a lot of rumors that, you know, if they're doing an Iron Man 4 that he might direct.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him do it again. Because
it's like poetry. It's like poetry.
It's like poetry. It rhymes. There's a couple instances of that in Civil War. It's like poetry. It rhymes. But no, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. was really good as Iron Man in this.
Yeah.
Because it's like I said, I think in, you know, and Shane Black, I mean, was essentially doing a semi-sequel to Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah, he was like, I want to do a Kiss Kiss Bang Bang sequel. Robert Downey Jr. is tied up with Marvel. I'll just make an Iron Man movie.
Exactly. I'll call it Iron Man 3.
Yeah, call and whatever
then,
you want.
And then Joss Whedon just let him do whatever the hell he wanted. And because he was like a quip machine. And, that, you know, and Tony Stark's supposed to be sarcastic and stuff like that. But the Russos and especially not just the Russos, I would say especially Marcus and McFeely.
Yes,
they really reined him in and kept him honest. I would say in this movie,
yeah.
So he was great. Chris Evans, of course, is fantastic as Captain America. He embodies that role.
Yeah.
You know, he is. I wrote it in my review. I said the only currently as of right now the only other actor I would say who completely embodies the role is like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I mean, you can't see anybody else playing him as of right now. Whereas with Christian Bale, as much as I loved him as Batman, Ben Affleck does a really good job. So it's like, okay, I can see Ben Affleck doing this. This is good. But I still like Christian Bale better. But ultimately, but it's also because I have three movies worth of Christian Bale as Batman. The whole cast is great. And I think you pointed out when we saw it, like, it's pretty seamless. You know, it's like I said, the only character, and it, again, because I know you love him, and I did enjoy him in the movie. The only character who kind of felt kind of like shoehorned in was Spider-Man. Because they're just like, quick, get him out there. Hey, look, Spider-Man's on our team now. Isn't it great? But everybody else fits pretty seamlessly into the movie. It doesn't feel like anybody's, like, you know, jammed in there or anything like that. I would say Hawkeye a little bit, just because he kind of comes out of nowhere. But you knew he was going
to
show up.
Yeah, he had to show up.
And they mention him earlier in the movie, and you know he's going to show up at some point.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson, somebody who posted, a friend of mine on Facebook posted, he goes, I was glad to see Natasha playing Natasha again. I was like, yes, thank you. Like, once again, Marcus and McFeely, they know the characters.
Yeah, I don't think she had really been Black Widow until Winter Soldier.
Yeah, and then now she's...
And now the same writers.
Now she's
Black they know Widow how again. To write a Black Widow character. Basically, these guys need to write everything in the Marvel Universe.
Pretty much. I mean, pretty much.
They have the best handle on all the characters. They know how to keep the characters in line with their characterization.
Yeah.
And make their motivations make sense.
Yeah. Because Joss Whedon, I would say, he basically makes all the characters kind of sound the same. Because they're all, like, they're all real witty and quip masters and all this kind of stuff. It's like, no, that's not how it works. You gotta make some characters funny and some are different, and Marcus and McFeely, I mean, they make them, they're all individual characters.
Yeah.
Vision's great. Paul Bettany's in this, he's hilarious in some parts.
Ascot and sweater.
Yeah, he like phases through a wall and she's Scarlet, like, Witch is like, we talked about this. Yeah. You can't come in here like that.
But the door was open. I thought
I figured I will use the door.
Oh, yeah. I will walk out the door.
Elizabeth Olsen's great as Scarlet Witch. Chadwick Boseman, he plays Black Panther in this. He's fantastic.
I was so looking forward to this character. I knew he was a good actor. I wasn't sure how he was going to come across in the movie because basically we've never seen Panther before.
Right.
We have, you know, the general audience may not know who he is.
Right.
So they're going to have to do some sort of introduction. I'm like, how do you weave that into this movie? They do it perfectly.
Yeah, it's seamless. Yeah.
It's, you understand immediately what's going on with him.
Right.
And you don't even need a lot of backstory on him. It's like,
no, I mean, well, because that's the thing, because he doesn't he's not like the other characters. He doesn't have like some crazy origin. It's just he's the prince of this isolated country, and there you go.
Yeah, he's Black Panther. He has these powers, and you're just gonna have to accept it.
Yeah,
and he kicks so much ass in this movie. And, yeah, I like what the guys on Collider said about him. In their sort of roundtable video review.
Right.
They were like, you have the two opposing forces in Captain America and Iron Man.
Right.
Black Panther is the outside third force that runs through everybody.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, he's not on Iron Man's side. He's not on, you know, Cap's side. He has one goal in mind.
Right.
And, you know, don't get in front of him, basically.
Right, yeah.
And Boseman plays him so well.
Yeah, he did. He did a great job. I knew like he was great in the Jackie Robinson movie 42, but it wasn't until I saw him in Get On Up as James Brown. I mean, he sounded and moved exactly like James Brown. I was just like, he's gonna be able to do Black Panther. Like he will be great as Black Panther. And he is. And he had the accent. And the
accent was great. He said he kind of developed it on his own.
Well, he said he developed it. Like, he developed it on Gods of Egypt.
Yeah. That's where he tested it out, he said.
He tested it out there. And I think, there was another movie he did. There was like a small movie he did that he tested it out too, because he was supposed to be from South Africa in this other movie.
He said basically he pulled it from a couple different dialects. Mm-hmm. Like he combined a few different African dialects. And it's a cool dialect in the movie.
Yeah. He's great. He's great.
He's great. Yeah, I know.
Hey, I know you too. You're great.
You're great. I like his fighting style a lot.
Yeah.
This is another good thing about the movie. I mean, each individual character has their own way of fighting. So you've got Scarlet Witch does her thing.
With her thighs.
Yeah, no, that's Black Widow.
I'm sorry, that's Black Widow. Yeah. You say Scarlet, I think Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, right. No, she kills everybody with her thighs.
Yes, she's like Xenia on a top.
Yeah, if she's fighting somebody, she's going to jump on their heads and squeeze her thighs together, and you're going to die. That's how she kills people. she has her own fighting style. Hawkeye's got his thing. I mean, everybody has their own way to do it. Panther, though, kind of sets himself apart. He's more of a hand-to-hand fighter.
Right.
Well, he is a hand-to-hand fighter. But the style is really cool. It's very fluid, brutal. I mean, and he could kill you with those claws. They're badass. Yeah.
His adamantium claws. I mean, vibranium claws.
Right. Yeah, he does a number on Cap's shield. But Boseman's great. He's a great addition to the pantheon of characters they have now.
Yeah, and his movie comes out in February 2018.
Yeah.
So he will be, yeah, he'll be in that before he's in Infinity War.
Yes, that comes out. That's the last movie before Infinity War,
Part 1.
Yeah. Right. Which, I wonder now if, because we'll get back to the Civil War here in a second, but there was some news this week that the Russos have named the two parts of Infinity War differently.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want people to think it was like they're breaking up one movie into two parts.
Right.
They said they're two separate movies.
Right.
So it's got me thinking, like,
what's... So hopefully the first one's called Avengers Kang the Conqueror, and then the next one's called Thanos' House right. Party.
I don't think so, because they don't own Kang yet.
They don't?
No.
Is he a Fantastic Four character?
He's a Fox character.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
That came out... I remember, because it was a couple years ago, people were like, we want Kang in the next Avengers movie, and there was an article basically where they said they can't because Fox owns rights.
Interesting. Yeah. I always thought he was an Avengers character.
I thought so too, but apparently he might have shown up first in Fantastic Four or something. I don't know. There was some legal reason where they were like, we can't use Kang. And right. I think it was actually James Gunn might have been the one to say, no, we can't.
Didn't he want to use him? No, he wants to use there's somebody he wants to use that Fox has. I can't remember who it was though.
Nihilus, is it?
I don't think I would think that the Avengers have that Marvel has a Nihilus. Or they don't? Mm-mm. Jesus. I mean, I guess it makes sense that the Fantastic Four has all those cosmic characters because that's what they used to do, is they would go in space all the time. But
yeah.
But maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was a Nihilus. That's who James Gunn wanted.
Yeah, but he addressed the Kang rumor, and he's apparently not as watched by Marvel as the other directors, because he just says whatever he wants.
Oh yeah, he doesn't.
So it's refreshing in a way. To, yeah, you know, people ask him questions and he'll answer them, and they're like, can't you get Kang? And he's like, no, they don't have the rights. You know,
right.
So unfortunately, we will not.
They technically don't have the rights to Namor, do they?
Universal, it's something weird. That, it's right? Like split ownership.
Yeah.
Some weirdness. I don't know.
Somebody, I forget what article was, made a good point there. They were like, I don't know if they really want to do Namor at this point, because now you got Aquaman coming out. And let's be honest, essentially the same guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the same character.
It's the same guy.
I do not need a Namor movie. I understand he has fans, but
An interesting character because of how arrogant he is and stuff like that. So he could be an interesting character to watch.
He would be one of those sort of gray characters that could be a villain, could be a
hero. He would be good in a movie as the possible villain turns good at the end or something like that. But not, I don't want a Namor movie. Like, I don't want a movie about him. Who gives a crap?
There's too many other stories I have to tell.
Avengers, Atlantis Attacks. Done!
Right. No, but I was thinking about the first movie. Because but Thanos has to be in both of them, I would think. So I don't know.
I'm wondering if there will be something that happens, because not to give anything away, but I would think that there has to be something at the start of the next movie that has to be kind of an Earth problem for the Avengers to come together. And then maybe the Thanos thing will be like a side plot. What he's like, he's doing his business.
Yeah.
And then maybe he brings like the Guardians into it and stuff like that and all that, you know, and then the second movie will be the actual war, the actual war with Thanos.
Yeah.
Like by the end of the movie, he shows up on Earth and then gets the final gem or whatever.
I think, here's my prediction. Head. Yeah. In my prediction then, right now, Vision dies at the end of the first Infinity Wars.
Well, he won't die.
I think he's dead.
I mean, they'll bring him back. I mean,
I think they need an actual game changing death in the Marvel Universe. They need to set up Thanos as the badass of all badasses.
Right.
And I think the way you do that is for him to kill an Avenger. And I think he kills Vision to get the final stone.
Maybe.
And
then that would be a good setup for later for Wanda, because she could say, no more mutants that aren't in this universe.
Yeah. No more Fox mutants. That's my prediction anyway. But as far as the first movie goes...
Your prediction was correct about this movie.
Oh.
We won't go into spoilers, but we will in the
Hodgepodge. We'll talk about it on the Hodgepodge. But
kudos to you. Thank you. That your prediction was correct on what would happen, because as we said, you know, they're this is very, very loosely based.
Yeah, super loosely
on the comic book.
A little more than, say, Age of Ultron, which only took the name from the comics.
Yeah.
This is like, this is the name plus like two or three highlights from the run of Civil War, and that's it.
I was watching Red Letter Media last night because they reviewed it. They just posted it yesterday, I think. And it was interesting. One of the guys who's like a super comic book guy, he wasn't a big fan of this movie. Like, he thought it was kind of stupid. And he's just like, oh, the UN's going to control them? Oh, yeah, they're going to get a lot done now. It's like that just totally plays into Captain America's argument. Oh, yeah, I'll sign this. Oh, there's a big monster coming? Well, why don't you get all that? Oh, it's all destroyed. Yeah, I was right. Okay, we're going.
Yeah. I will say, you know, I'm glad that they left a lot of Civil War out of this movie.
Well, there's a lot of problems. I mean, the thing with it's, and I always say this about Mark Miller and like when he does Marvel stuff, 90% of the time, his premise is great. It's the execution that suffers. Mm-hmm. And that was the issue with Civil War. It was also the issue with Old Man Logan. The premise in Old Man Logan is fantastic. So as long as if they want to do the new Wolverine movie, and they're taking the premise from Old Man Logan, and then they just go, and all this other crap, get rid of that. Okay, now we make our own movie.
The Hulklings, you know? The inbred
Hulklings. Oh, it was stupid. It was just stupid. but the catalyst that has Wolverine quit being Wolverine, and then the fact that, you know, he has a family in the future, and it's very, very interesting. I don't know how far in the future they can go, though, if Professor Xavier's in it. But anyway, I mean, because he's old enough as it is. Yeah. No offense, Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
You were great in Green Room. But
Hey, you're great too. The Civil War, the things in the Civil War that I'm glad they left out, one of them is that Tony in Civil War, there's no bones about it. He's the villain.
Right.
He's an asshole. And you will find very few people that actually sided with him, I think, in the Civil War comics. In this movie,
he does a lot of abhorrent stuff in those books.
Yeah. He does some really terrible things.
Yeah.
I mean, he and Mr. Fantastic make the clone Thor, who ends up killing Bill Foster.
Right.
He puts together the new Thunderbolts, who are just a bunch of villains that go crazy and kill everybody.
And does Norman Osborn lead them?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the Iron Patriot, right? Yeah.
It's just, like, horrible decision after horrible decision in the guise of doing good, you know? And,
right.
And so I didn't buy it at all.
Right.
And Captain America was very clearly the good guy in that
battle.
In this one, it's way more complicated. Not in a bad way, but in a kind of way where I go, yeah, I can see your point of view here. I can kind of see Iron Man's point of view here. It's especially at the end,
I mean,
like the final fight. I'm like, oh man, yeah, I would probably do that too if I saw that. You know, it's
but see, that has nothing to do with the initial problem, though.
Well, see, I bought into it more than you did. I know you had a problem with it. I felt like, given everything that had happened up to that point, I was reminded of this on another video I saw as a review of it. The Alfre Woodard character was in Civil War comics.
Oh, really?
And it was the same deal where she was like, you know, this death is on you.
Right.
And that was the thing that broke the camel's back in Civil War comics.
Right.
And it's the same thing in the movie. It's like, I think he's been feeling guilty for a while now.
Right.
And, you know, with Sokovia, Ultron is basically his fault.
That's true. But it's like I said, I mean, Ultron's his fault. Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's like that meme that's floating around the internet. And he's like, well, what about this? Well, that was kind of your fault. And what about this? Well, that was kind of your fault too. Hey, you know what? Maybe they should just lock you up and then everybody else can go about and do their business.
Yeah. Well, so the first Avengers, Thor, you know, I don't know that you could say he's responsible. It's his brother, basically, that's doing this. That one, it's hard to blame on really any one person. But there was a lot of destruction.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is like they're talking, like, in Civil War, the comic book, the inciting incident is senseless death and destruction. And it's on a huge scale.
But it's also not Avengers. Not the Avengers.
No, I know. And that's kind of... issue. Like, it's my argument with Civil War, with the movie, is not that they should never done it, but I always felt like you need to do that just a little bit further down the road. You just need to do it just a little bit. Just there needs to be like maybe one more Avengers movie in the middle there, and then do Civil War, because it'll warrant doing it, because now they've been around so long and it's a new team now, and then, you know, and then something happens or whatever, you know. But everything, like in the trailer, like Thunderbolt Ross is like New York and Washington and Sokovia, and I'm just like, save the world, save the world, save the world. What else? What? It's like, you know, so there is something that happens in this movie that is like the straw that broke the camel's back a little bit. But at the same time, it's like, it's not that massive a scale that, you know what I mean? Like, it's like they were doing the Sokovia Accords already, and they were just like, oh, this is just one more example. I'm just, well, that's not nearly on the scale of what the other stuff was going on. I think what needed to happen was a major, major failure from the Avengers in the beginning of this movie, or they needed to have, you know, something, you know, happen. Because in the comic books, I mean, essentially they're just stealing from the X-Men in the comic books. It's the Superhuman Registration Act as opposed to the Mutant Registration Act. And that's the other thing too, is that you know, in the comics you had, when did that come out, 2006?
Yeah, somewhere.
So you had like, you know, 40 years of history of characters and history and stuff like that, that it became like, it wasn't just like this one little team just fighting each other. It was like, you know, like armies of super humans fighting each other. It actually was a civil war. So it's like this one in the movie, I just felt like the stakes should have been a little bit higher. I felt the stakes weren't, for me personally watching it, the stakes weren't as high as they were trying to make it out to be, especially because there's something else going on the side that becomes a much bigger deal at the end, which is what really breaks it apart. And that's fine. And that's totally cool. And you could have that going the whole time. That's cool. It's just that, you know, I mean, this is a very, very, very minor spoiler, but in the airport fight, which is awesome. I mean, the airport fight is incredible. You know, if you go to the movie and you have to see just 20 minutes of the movie, that's when you go to see the airport, the climactic fight in the airport. But even at that point in the movie, they go, this isn't the real fight. And I'm just like, and that's the problem with this movie, is that like, it's like they all seem to be like pulling their punches a little bit, which is fine because they're all friends still. But you never get like, I never got the feeling that it was like, we have to do this. Like the convictions weren't really there for me. Like, we have to do this. No, we have to do this. Oh. It's like, that's kind of like what I felt. Like they were just kind of like, you know, you're breaking the law. Who gives a shit? You know, it's like, you know, it's kind of like what Batman says in Batman versus Superman. He's like, and that's from The Dark Knight too. The Dark Knight Returns. He's like, we've always been criminals. Yeah, let's stop pretending about this shit. We were always criminals, you know. Because me, I mean, watching this movie, like, I can kind of see Iron Man's point of view, but I was 100% on Cap's side the whole way.
I'm like, well, Cap's, if it was right, just the Sokovia Accords, then I'm on Cap's. I'm totally on Cap's side. I mean, I still see where Tony's coming from, but that's not the way you solve that problem.
Right.
It's the overall problem where I think it gets more gray. And I disagree. I thought it made sense in the history of the Marvel Universe on film. Because if you think about it, this is a world that was just introduced to superheroes 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
2012?
Yeah.
And in that time, New York has almost been destroyed. London has almost been destroyed. Sokovia was destroyed. Or at least the biggest city in Sokovia was destroyed. Washington, D.C. did not get attacked, but a horrible event happened.
Right.
So I think in a situation like that, I can see the countries of the world flipping the fuck out.
Right.
And saying, we can't just have these guys running around. Because ever since they came onto the scene, right, look at all these horrible things that have happened. So to me, I bought it. And I could see Iron Man sort of feeling guilty, and that's what drives him to back it. Because the whole time he was like, no, we can amend it. Just sign it now, and then later on we'll amend it so that we can do our own thing. And he's trying to appease Cap.
And that's true. But then that brings me to my other problem with it, is who the government picks to spearhead the whole thing. And it's Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah.
And Iron Man knows him from before. And he also knows that, hey, my best friend in the Avengers, you tried to kill him in 2008. I remember. There's a whole movie about it. Mm-hmm. He looked a little bit different, but you tried to kill him.
I kind of wish Widow had said, like, because that there's a line I'm not going to spoil. They brought right. it up. And I wish she would have been like, no, they're not.
Yeah, he would never work with that guy in a million years. And you kind of get a feeling throughout the movie, and this is not a spoiler because this never comes to fruition, but you do kind of get a feeling throughout the movie that he's kind of trying to turn them into like his own like Thunderbolts type
Thunderbolts,
team.
Yeah.
And that would be great if he ends up doing that.
Yeah.
You know, in the future, but it's like,
I think that's where they're going.
And that would be great if that ends up what happens. But I almost feel like they should have had a different character spearhead that and it's like I said, I don't know. I said this to you. I don't know if they can bring him in because he wasn't the first X-Men movie. But this seems like an area where like Henry Gyrich would come in, and then he would be the guy who's like, you know, hey, yeah. I mean, because like they debate it. You know, they're debating it, and like Don Cheadle's like, you know, War Machine's like, because of course he's all for it because he's a freaking rah rah motherfucker. Yeah. But anyway, so he's but he's a Captain Atom on the Justice League Unlimited. So he goes,
yeah, fuck that guy.
He goes, oh, he's got a Medal of Honor, one more than you've got, Falcon. And I'm just like, and he also tried to murder the Hulk for no reason.
He just wanted to talk to him.
No, he didn't. So he also tried to murder your friend, the Hulk. So it was cool to see William Hurt back. I really like to have him back. If you've seen the trailer, you know, the Raft is in this, which is the superhuman prison. And if they had just made him in charge of the Raft, that would have been great. But I think they needed that. I think they needed to split that character and have the person who spearheads the Accord say, hi, the president hired me. I'm supposed to come here and liaise with you. This is how it's going to be. And if you don't like it, hit the bricks, you know. But by making it Thunderbolt Ross, a guy who has history with one of the Avengers, and it's bad history, I think they would all be like, fuck this, you know. So that I think that was part of the problem. I know they were trying to get across, like, oh, I've changed, because I didn't buy that for a minute. I didn't buy it for a minute.
No. Well, we did, but...
William Hurt's not that good an actor.
He came off as, you know, nice and cuddly there in that first meeting until somebody questioned him. He's like, fuck you!
Screw you, Cap!
Yeah. Or when Black Widow was like...
I know you won World War II for us, but screw you!
And if I say no, then you can go to hell! I mean, that was basically his answer.
Basically.
So, yeah, it was a thinly veiled... attempt at being nice.
Yeah.
You know, I like that he was back.
I mean, yeah, it was great to see him back because it was cool that they have that continuity throughout the universe.
Finally, they acknowledge the Incredible Hulk as a movie.
Yeah, right? Well, I mean, they did in Avengers too because when they're showing Cap, when they're catching Cap up, they had footage from Incredible Hulk of what he
but
was
it's like
doing.
As far as like having someone from. Like
right.
We've seen all these other characters from other movies.
Right, that's true. Yeah, we haven't seen anyone. We haven't seen Emil Brodsky come back or Betty. Yeah. Or, right.
I do wonder now, though, now that we have the Raft, like, is that where everybody is? Is that where
maybe
Abomination is?
Yeah. Because apparently the Secretary of State also splits his time as the warden of a Supermax prison.
Yeah, he does. That's his
so
office.
Stupid.
That's where
so
his
stupid.
Office is.
Like I felt what they should have done is Martin Freeman's character maybe should have been. You don't have to make a guy rich. You should have made him the guy.
He was Everett Ross.
Yeah. That's confusing.
Yeah. Which apparently is a character in the comics somehow. I don't know. But
yeah. I thought he was
he's
like,
tied to Black Panther.
Yeah. I thought he was like the ambassador or something like that to Wakanda.
So he said he's coming back. Like he's got a bigger part in another movie, which.
It'll be interesting. It could be Black Panther.
I think it might
be
Black Panther.
Yeah.
We can't talk about that. But I can see that happening.
Right.
But yeah, he could have taken over some of that role. I see your point. I think the Secretary of State would be the one to pass on the Sokovian Accords because he's the one that's going to be dealing with these other countries.
Right.
After that, though, yeah, I don't know if he's...
I'm just saying you just make Everett Ross the Secretary of State. Just make him the Secretary of State and he does it. Just get Thunderbolt Ross out of that role because it's like I said, I mean, he's already bad apple, so you're just like, oh, this isn't going to be good, you know? But I mean, like, because I've read all these other reviews where they're like, oh man, and I didn't agree with what Cap did and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I 100% support everything Cap did in this movie. I mean, I was just like, you know, he's Captain America. You know, it's like there was never a moment like, and again, Batman and Superman, because, you know, despite the fact how different they are tonally, there's a lot of similarities between the two movies.
Yeah, there's as a far lot as of the same
themes and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of different. I mean, yeah, even down to Martha to a degree. But you know, when I watched Batman versus Superman, you see Batman do some stuff. You're like, ooh, I don't know, Batman. I don't know if you should be doing that. You know, like they went the. I mean, say what you want about that movie, but they did go the extra mile and said, Batman's the bad guy in this movie. He's the bad guy. Yeah. You know, it's like they really did go that extra mile. And I'm not saying you should have had Tony Stark do the abhorrent things that he does in the comic book, but I think they needed to make him a little bit more of the villain, maybe. But then when you have Daniel Brühl running around, it's kind of, you know,
I hated what they did with Stark in the comics.
And I'm not saying that you make him make him the full on villain, but they should have. They should have made it a little bit more. I felt Tony was being naive, a little naive, and considering what he knew about the government and all this stuff. I mean, the government didn't even know Hydra was in. For decades.
Idealistic is probably better. For the way I think of it, he's more idealistic than naive. I think he thinks that he can. He just needs everybody to sign it. He's like, and then we'll change it. So don't worry. All your worries we'll address after the fact. Right. Just sign it now so we can.
The Cap. And Cap who has become more and more disillusioned with every movie.
Yeah. He knows the truth. He's got reason to be.
Of course. Yeah. But I mean, like, that's the brilliant thing about his arc in these movies. Because, I mean, it really is Captain America's arc in all these movies.
Even he started out as a rah-rah poster boy for the U.S.
Exactly. Oh, I got to fight in this war. And then he's like, and then he does Avengers and he's like, whoa, there's something hinky going on here. This isn't right. And you got this Hydra tech. What the fuck? Yeah. And then Winter Soldier is just like, and then Avengers 2, he's like, and then he's like, Iron Man, what the F are you doing, dummy? I can't even trust you either. And it's like, you know, so he's like, Cap is like you would have almost thought that they would have made Cap the villain in this movie. Just like, I'll kill you. I'll kill everybody. It's like, you know, but they don't because he's Captain America, you know. Yeah. So but I never was sitting in that movie theater going, oh well, he's got a point. I was like, get him, Cap. get him all.
Yeah, like I said, I'm with you until the end, which funny, that's from the Winter Soldier. I'm with you till the end.
End of the line.
I won't say anything about it, but the real climax of the movie,
yeah,
that's where I'm kind of like, oh man, yeah. Can we just stop fighting? Just stop fighting. You're both right. Just stop fighting.
But see, in that case, that wasn't about that. That was about something else.
Right. It was not about Sokovia Accords.
It wasn't about Sokovia Accords anymore. No. It was about something else. Yeah. And in that case, yes, they were both right in that case.
That is more that it gets down to it's like
it's primal.
It
more
starts
primal.
Out as this huge story with all these characters, and it just keeps whittling down until it's Cap and Iron Man,
right?
And, you know, and that's where I'm like, okay, stop. Please stop fighting. Because it's just something, and I think they did it really well. You see it coming, and you're like, oh no. And then,
well, apparently some people in the theater did not see it coming.
Oh my God.
I knew from frame one, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That was right. Yeah. he totally called this one.
In 1982. Anyway, so we can't really. We'll go into more
super
depth,
spoilers, yeah, on the hodgepodge.
On hodgepodge, but overall, I've seen it a couple times now. I still need perspective on it, but as of now, my rankings of the Marvel movies, I still have Avengers number one, and that's only the first Avengers.
See, I think this is actually I think this is the best Avengers movie personally. Because it's like I said, this is one of these. It's like a weird hybrid. It's like Batman versus Superman. Batman versus Superman is a Superman movie, but it's a Batman movie, but it's also a Justice League movie. So it's like this weird thing, and this is kind of the same thing. There is a main focus on Cap, because to be honest, there should be because they had to wrap up what happened in Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
but
all the events center around him basically, and his reaction to everything, and it's basically it's his story that is tied throughout the movie. Right. So that's. I consider it more of a Cap story with all the adventures in it. It is a weird sort of movie, though.
Right.
But I feel like it's a little more focused on Cap than, say, Batman Superman was on Superman.
Right.
That did not feel like a Superman movie.
No, that one didn't. But at the same time, I would argue that this movie's just as much about Iron Man as well, because he's in it just as much as Cap,
yeah,
I would say.
I mean, it's... Yeah, they're sort of similar. Yeah. But I still have the Avengers first, not because it's a better movie, technically, or even in writing.
It's
or
fun. Anything.
It's just... Well, to me, it's the intangibles. It's
seeing them come together.
Seeing them come together, yeah, for the first time. It's really hard to beat that moment. And seeing them fight together in New York. And mm-hmm. There's a lot of great scenes in there with, you know, Thor and Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And Thor and Loki. Or Loki and Hulk. There's just a lot of really great, like, cheering moments in that movie.
Yeah.
But I fully admit, technically, it's not the best movie. It's not... The plot is not the best. The writing is not the best. No. It's still my favorite Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
I keep going back and forth, though, between Winter Soldier and Civil War now. I'm like, I can kind of like Winter Soldier better, I think.
You were blinded by Spider-Man.
It's another intangible. It is my love of Spider-Man. And I got to say, yeah, we haven't talked about, or I haven't talked about it much, but yeah, Tom Holland, he's only in this movie for 30 minutes, but he's already better than Maguire and Garfield, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Whether his movies are going to be better, we don't know yet. But character-wise...
He is Spider-Man is better.
As Spider-Man, they finally brought everything together. It's not like Tobey Maguire was a good Peter Parker, but not a great Spider-Man. And
right.
Garfield was a better Spider-Man, but not a great Peter Parker.
Right.
I think he might have been autistic. I mean, in that movie, he was just... The mannerisms he was using, I was just like, what are you doing? You're overacting these scenes. Stop it. But I feel like Tom Holland got everything right in this movie.
Right.
And it helps that Marcus Mathily know the character and
can write
the character. Yeah. And you've got two fans and the directors of Spider-Man. It's like their favorite character. So
right.
Of course they're going to get him right. So I was really happy with that. And like I said, Black Panther, I mean, there's just such good characterization in the movie. And that's, you know, so I waffle between Winter Soldier and this movie.
Yeah, for me, it's totally clear. Winter Soldier is still the best Marvel movie. It's so tight, and that's the other thing too, is because like the quote unquote twist in this movie isn't a twist. If you pay attention in Winter Soldier, it's not a twist. And the Winter Soldier, I mean, that moment when they reveal the Hydra thing, it's like oh my god, that was awesome. It's like it not only redefined the Marvel Universe, it totally made Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a good TV show. Like, it was terrible. It was terrible all the way up to that. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh my god, this show's going to be awesome now. It's like, you know, I mean, to me, it was just a tighter movie. I liked how the conflict between Bucky and Cap and, you know, oh, he's my friend, but he's brainwashed and what am I going to do? And then they're fighting at the end.
I love it. I love the emotional aspects of it.
And then the interactions between him and Black Widow, and then the introduction of Falcon, which I thought I felt he was going to be like shoehorned in there, and it was perfect. It was seamless, and he has great chemistry with Evans. Anthony Mackie has great chemistry with Evans. It was great. And it's like I saw Winter Soldier, and I was just like, I want to see Captain America 3 right now. And this is before it was Civil War or anything. And in fact, when they had that press event and they tried to trick everybody and call it Serpent Society first, I was like, awesome. I was like, great, let's do it. And then when they revealed it Civil War, I was like, oh, really? I was like, all right. I was like, yeah, Serpent Society, that'd be cool as hell. You know, and I kind of felt similar in this regard. It's like, I'm more interested in seeing, because I like Cap the most. So it's like, I liked stuff that they developed in his life in this movie. I'm more interested to see Captain America 4. Than I am seeing another Avengers movie. I mean, I want to see another Avengers movie, but I'm like, I want to see what happens with Cap, like where it goes from here. But you're probably going to have to get through Infinity War because of the end of this movie, basically.
Yeah, this movie, much like Winter Soldier, redefines what the Marvel Universe looks like now.
Yeah, it really does, yeah.
Because at the end of Winter Soldier, it's like, oh shit, okay, yeah. This changes everything.
Yeah.
And
then they did Guardians of the Galaxy, which had no relation to any of this stuff.
Yeah. Which we're going to have more of next year.
Yeah.
Which, totally fine.
Yeah.
It's great that other movies can exist.
You'll have two movies that completely are unconnected. You're going to have three movies in a row that are completely unconnected to this.
Yep. Which, in a way, makes sense.
Yeah.
There are three movies I'm really looking forward to. So I, you know, and now, especially with Homecoming, I want to see, I really want to see Tom Holland in a full movie as Spider-Man. Yeah. Because I hope they keep, like, just the characterization, I want them to keep that.
Yeah.
Going forward.
Hopefully it's rated R, too.
Yeah, it's rated R. I want him to kill lots of people.
No.
Oh,
that's not why.
Aunt May.
Aunt May. Yeah. Aunt May sex scene. Yes. You never thought that would be the greatest thing you ever heard.
Words that have never been spoken.
Until
I
now.
I want to see an Aunt May sex
Until
scene.
Until now. Aunt May sex scene.
Which, by the way, I want to rekindle the rumors of an Aunt May movie where she's a spy.
Yeah. Great.
That great Sony idea from a couple years ago or whatever.
Now it can work.
Now I will go see that movie.
Captain America Civil War is it's a winner. Go see it.
It needs your support.
Yes, it does. It's not making any
money. Almost made $700 million. so please go see it. Support indie movies.
Yeah, right. These giant blockbusters destroy indie movies. I liked it. For me personally, I know you posted something where you said this edges out Nolan's Batman movies. I thoroughly disagree.
So surprising. So surprising.
Because the way I see it, I mean, for me, The Dark Knight is a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece. And then Batman Begins, for me personally, is better than the other two Captain America movies by itself.
See, that's where that's the disagreement, because I also hold The Dark Knight really high.
Right.
I was like, is this the best trilogy? So, and really, the only competition is Nolan's Batman trilogy. Other than that, and that's another thing I'll say, to the credit of the Russos, they beat the third movie curse.
Hmm.
Which
yeah, they did.
Hasn't happened in a long time. I don't think. I was trying to remember, like, has anybody really beaten...
Technically, it's only their second movie, but all right.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, Spider-Man 3 shit the bed in the third movie.
Oh, God,
X-Men 3 shit the bed.
Yeah.
I mean, you just go down the line. Iron Man 3 didn't financially shit the bed, but it's not an Iron Man movie either, I don't think.
No.
So I can't... I did not personally call that one a success. But it's the third movie is always where they either try to do too much or something else falls apart. It's just they can't.
I know. I admit that. I mean, The Dark Knight Rises definitely has its problems. But for me,
that is my weakest of the Nolan movies.
But see, for me, clearly the weakest Captain America one, unless you're Collider,
just Matt Goldberg. Don't
is the first Avenger. Is the first Avenger, because yeah. I liked the first Avengers. There's a lot I liked about it. And after I saw the first Avenger, I was like, well, I'm interested in seeing a Captain America sequel because I like Captain America. But I got to be honest, when we saw it, when we did that marathon, we watched it before the Avengers came out, and I'm just like, this movie's kind of boring. It's like, I'm getting kind of bored. It's like, you know. So, but to me, The Dark Knight Rises, while it has its problems with the climax and everything like that happens, and the way they tie it all together in the end and tied it to Batman Begins, Catwoman, you talk about intangibles, Catwoman, Bane, I mean, they're great in it. Tom Hardy's great in that. I kind of either put that equal or at least a notch above the first Avenger, just like a notch above. And then, like I said, for me, Dark Knight beats all the movies, it beats them all. And then, I just like Batman Begins. Batman Begins is just a great, great origin film. It was great.
The way I sort of have my mental grades, forever, I've put Dark Knight and Winter Soldier. For the longest time, I've had like right there. They're right neck and neck. So they're, to me, they're sort of tied. So then I went to the second best movies, which in Nolan's trilogy, I have is Batman Begins and Captain America. I have Civil War. If not Civil War, if it's not flip-flop with Winter Soldier. And for me personally, I only liked half of Batman Begins. Like, every time I found myself watching it over and over again, mm-hmm. I always skip to the part, or I want to skip to the part where he gets on the plane with Alfred and he goes back to Gotham. Mm-hmm. That's where that movie to me, that's when it gets interesting. The first part to me is kind of boring. So, I liked it. I mean, I saw it 4 times in the theater. I did like the movie, but it's more of in the B range for me. Mm.
I have
the second best Captain America movie as an A. Right. And the third movie, I think you're right. I think Dark Knight Rises is just a step above First Avenger. I thought First Avenger was a good introduction to Cap.
Yeah.
I mean, it did what it needed to do, which is introduce Cap to the Marvel Universe. Right.
But as a movie itself, it was
just... it's like, yeah, they've missed some...
It's missing
missed the mark a little bit. Yeah. And,
but it has hot Haley Atwell in it, which makes it hot.
Yeah, that was 90% of my grade.
But then again, you've got Dark Knight Rises, which has hot Anne Hathaway in it. That's true. And she's in a cat suit the whole movie.
This is true. But it was the middle two movies where my difference came out. So that's why I said it just slightly edged it out. It's the best trilogy for me. But essentially, we're just talking about two trilogies that are very close to each other. And then a large gap and then some other movies.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So either way, we're all winners.
We're all winner soldiers.
God, that would suck.
You're going in the army.
119 Ridge Freddy. Nobody's gonna know what that means unless they've seen the movie. All right. Okay. Are we done?
Yes.
Yes.
That'll do it for this episode of the Crossover Podcast. Be sure to check us out on the Hodgepodge Podcast when we do a more spoiler centric review of Civil War, because that's when it's gonna get down and dirty and nasty in a fisticuffs type way.
We're actually going to fight on the podcast.
Not in an Aunt May way.
Right.
And we'll see you next time, folks.
All right, see you.